I was trying to capture the true essence of a story behind just an everyday Australian property investor. And that was really the whole motivation behind that podcast. And I guess my goal behind it was to try and impact over a million people across Australia to get into property, because we don't get taught this at home and we don't know a lot of it from school. People go to school to learn a particular skill for whatever their job or their future will be. Yeah. But to actually impact and find out from everyday Australians who actually do and invest into property was what I wanted to do.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent, and I'm joined by Mark Edwards.
Hi, Sam.
That was awkward.
I know it was a little bit awkward because this one actually started a little differently from the normals, did it?
It was a little bit different because, well, our guest this week has got a podcast of his own, actually, which is, you know, he's achieved over a million downloads. And
that's just not being flippant in that he's just achieved over a million downloads. He's actually, so I think it's around about 1.2 million downloads of his podcast in the last
2 years, yeah. which is no mean feat. But Tyrone Shum, I met Tyrone actually because he and I were part of the same podcast learning group with the guys from Hustle and Flowchart. And we met and hit it off, and he was a real estate agent, and now he's got this podcast show called Property Investory. Mm-hmm. And so basically he has various investors on his show to tell their investment stories. So we recorded an episode with him where you and I will be on his show talking about commercial real estate and how we bought this property and things like that. And then we thought it would be really interesting to get Tyrone onto our show because Tyrone obviously listens to a lot of investors with different investment strategies, whether they be residential, commercial or whatever, mums, dads, corporations, like he's talked to
super
a lot of
funds,
them.
The whole lot, yep.
Yep. And so I thought it would be really cool to ask him some questions for the benefit of our property manager listeners of what investors are really looking for.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting one because he asked some pretty deep questions as to what, you know, sort of you as an individual on his podcast, obviously, what's driven you towards that particular investment strategy? How did you start out? What were the lessons that you've learned? What would you like to do differently? Blah, 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 blah.
It was weird being on the other side of the desk.
It certainly was, but it also, the value for the listener on our podcast with Tyrone is that you actually get into the mind of the investor because he's actually interviewed so many of them.
So many of them. And, you know, like for any of you that are sort of interested in property investment yourself, definitely check out the show. His show is called Property Investory. So you'll find it on iTunes and all the same places that you find Elevate. Definitely check out his show if you really want to get deep, deep inside the mind of some of your customers.
Exactly. Yeah, so we were doing our side of the podcast with Tyrone. What were some of the takeaways that you actually sort of took from your chat with Tyrone?
I think the biggest thing is that I think maybe a lot of people think that investors are hung up on price right now. And yes, that's a factor. But the things that we talked about a lot were the elements of choice. And we've seen that in various stories around the place, everyone from, you know, Dean Mackey, who's offering 2% collect the rent to 30% home hotel service. So investors are now looking for choice as to what, you know, they might want to do and what they might want to leave to an agent. So one thing that Tyrone says investors really want is they want to look at the systems that you have or that you've created to really get to know their portfolio and your client base. So interestingly, you know, is technology a factor? Well, Tyrone thinks it is.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Lots of information was shared in your chat with Tyrone.
Very generously by Tyrone.
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks, mate. But you also took a ton of notes on this one as well.
As always.
So if you want to get hands on your notes, either to compliment after you've actually listened to the podcast itself, and that will sort of trigger off all the memory bells. Or if you don't have time to actually listen to the podcast itself, this has got all of the nuggets in it.
I hate it when you say nuggets.
So you can actually go to eliteagentelevate.com, stick your email address in, and it will come flying to you through the ether. Or if you want to actually get your hands on all of the podcast notes for the entire month, become a pro member, eliteagent.com/pro. And not only will you get extra, but you'll also get the magazine and a whole heap of other stuff as well.
Yeah, all the good stuff from us.
Absolutely.
So including, well, now we've added a Thursday email for pro members with direct shortcut links to all of the actual action guides. So no more, our pro members don't have to put their email address in. They just go straight at the front of the line.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which is something that we like to do for them. And also, you know, like I've been pointing out some of the cool stuff around the web, just a little bit extra, because we like to be a bit extra.
That's it. It's all about saving time and getting your hands on the resources as quickly as possible.
I know you guys are going to enjoy this podcast with Tyrone, and don't forget to check out his show. Welcome to the podcast, Tyrone Shum.
Thank you so much, Sam.
It's a pleasure to have you here in our podcast studio, actually, because we've just recorded a podcast for your show,
yeah,
for Property Investory. So from one podcaster to another, this has been really fun this morning. So our audience are mainly real estate agents and your audience are mainly property investors. So I think there's some really good synergies there in terms of what you're seeing from some of the guests on your show. And I'm going to get to asking you for some good tips on what investors really want in a second. But first of all, I'm going to ask you a question that you ask all of your guests, because I'm a fan of your show.
Thank you.
So Tyrone, in 60 seconds or less, tell us what you do on any given day.
Okay, so for me, I currently also work at a university across in Sydney, and my given day every day is pretty much helping other faculty members within the actual university to find out what their requirements are to be able to put together the systems. So I'm a business analyst by my full-time trade, and then my side hustle is property. So this is the podcast that I really, really love and enjoy doing as well too. And it's something that I've been really passionate about. I guess I started off podcasting was because I just wanted to learn, you know, I had this selfish need to like, go, okay, who can tell me what to do in property? Because there's so many assets behind it.
Absolutely. And so how did the podcast actually start? How did you get your podcast off the ground? Because you've got an insane number of downloads, like I think 50,000 downloads a month or something like that. Lots of people listen to you. So how did you grow from zero to that many listeners?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess over the last 2 years or so, we've had over 1.2 million downloads from the podcast, which was insane. Like I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know, for that many people to tune into the podcast and listen to it. So it came out of a little bit of an itch. I was just driving to work every day as listening to podcasts, because that's something that I really, really enjoy listening to different podcasts that were out there, and also a lot of different business shows as well too. And through those shows, I was like, okay, I'm learning a lot of how-tos, but I'm not learning about and finding out about the stories behind them. And there's this kind of itch going, okay, I wish somebody would actually release a podcast that tells about their story, tells about where they grew up, what they did, how they actually got into property, because that's more for me the kind of story that I like to hear, and that would inspire me to continue to be motivated to do other things as well too. It's great to be able to hear all the how-to information from property side of things, and there's a ton of information out there which you can just pick up a book or go on the internet search. But when it comes to actually the story, everyone has a very unique story, and I think when we actually tell a story, people remember that a lot more than, say, you know, the facts of saying 10, 15 different properties, because properties change, I guess you can say, but their story will always remain the same because that's what they grew up with. So for me, I was driving to work one day and said, look, I want to learn more about these people. I want to actually reach out to all these people who have grown up to be, you know, media experts, property gurus, all these kind of things. And no one actually had done that. And I thought, should I actually do it?
Yep.
And I actually, for about a whole year, I actually sat on it and not did anything at all. And I just thought, oh, I could not be bothered, because it's a lot of work. I've done a podcast prior to running the Property Investory podcast. And, you know, the amount of work that was involved wasn't as much as it was to actually create video, because I've also been doing video production as well too. But I know that if you want to produce a very high quality production podcast, you actually will need to put in a bit of work, not just only the interviewing side of things, but also to ensure that you script it, you edit it with really good music and so forth. And I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it all out. You know, I go do something very similar to like maybe Freakonomics or how I built this podcast on NPR, because they have a very, very high level of production. It's not like they just record the interview and then just release it. They actually go through, take out the best points, tell the actual narrative behind it with the story, and then release it to the audience. And that's probably one of the main reasons why their podcast has done so well and, you know, followed by millions and millions of people. And I wanted to do the same thing, because not only that, I wanted to be able to impact listeners just like myself, because I was putting myself in the same shoes thinking, if no one else is doing it, and I've been really, really interested in that, so I'm pretty sure there'll be other people out there. So I just thought I'll give it a go and put it out there. And that's basically it.
So what you're saying is anyone can have a podcast these days, but it's actually what you do in terms of consistency and your processes and production that sets you apart from just another podcast.
Yeah, definitely. At the same time as well, as you said, it's a process involved. So for me, I'm not like recording every day because I just don't have the time. I've got a full-time job. You know, I've got a family with two kids and I've got a life to live as well too. So everything for me is pretty much a systemized approach. You know, I try to book in the interviews and do them in bulk at least once a month or so forth. I also ensure that I have a lot of interviews booked in advance. So I'm about 3 or 4 months ahead of schedule at this point in time. So therefore allows me time to be able to go through all that and enabling to be able to have the right team behind me, because it's not a one-man show. This requires editors. It requires people to actually do the admin side, updating the website, posting it on social media, all that kind of stuff. So I don't do this all myself. And to be able to do a business like this and to be able to grow it from 0 to 1.2 million, it requires a lot of strategy in place as well too. So to answer your question, from 0 to 1.2 million downloads has been a journey in itself. You know, it's required a lot of marketing, you know, to reach out to the guests in the past, to ensure that your content is on par, you know, better than what's currently out there, to get yourself out to so many different events, to meet different people, to really share it, you know, to get the word out there, and just talking to people on forums, talking to people on different networks, you know, coming into podcasts like this as well. It's quite a lot of, you know, effort, but it's definitely well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great takeaway. There's not enough to put something out there. You've actually got to do some work to get people in. I know that story pretty well. So your podcast is about property investment, and I imagine you're a property investor yourself. So how did you get started in property investment?
I think when I was a little bit younger, I was always wanting to buy a property for myself, because I had seen how many people had been successful with buying property at a very young age, and they said always get in and start early. And that's the lesson that I was sort of ingrained at a very young age. And I guess I started and purchased my first property when I was in university, actually. I'm just trying to think, because I went through and took Steve McKnight's program, 0 to 130 Properties, very, very well-known author for that. And I took his results mentoring program, which actually guided me through on how to actually buy property. And at that time, I was only still at uni, but at a very, I guess, young age, and I was very fortunate that my parents had sort of instilled me a very strong savings habit. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much the saver in the family. I was able to save up to about $50,000 when I was about 23 or so. So during that uni days, I thought I'd go out and buy a property, a positive cash flow property. And that's how I got started in my journey in investment. And essentially from there, it just kind of propelled me through. I kind of stopped for a few years because I started going out to the workforce, pursued a career, had a family. And then that's when, I think a few years later, it just kind of hit me when I was driving in the car and heard actually one of my really, really good friends who said to me, hey, you know, and I've recently just been buying property, and he's kind of about 3 or 4 years actually younger than me, and said to me, and it was appeared in the media, and said, oh, you know, I've got now, I think it was at that point, 12 investment properties. I went, how did you do that? Yeah. And I did it within a space of 2.5 years. And I thought, all right, I got to find out more. And that's kind of what sparked my interest to get back into it, because I'm thinking, if this person who I knew as my friend, you know, he's a very smart guy, but he's no different to any other of my friends out there, all pretty, you know, good mates and stuff like that. If he can build a property from 0 to 12 in like 2.5 years.
Yeah, if he can, I can.
I can too, you know. So that's what kind of sparked the interest to get back into it. And then that's from there I start buying another commercial property, and I've also purchased a residential property as well too. So starting to build that up and getting into also property development as well too.
Yeah, so tell me a bit about the property development that you're involved in, because that's pretty interesting.
There was a sort of a demand from the podcast, because people were reaching out and saying, hey, can you refer me to some good deals, or connect me up to buyer's agents or even real estate agents to look for some property? And one of my coaches said to me, look, you've got a really good following. A lot of people love listening to podcasts, and majority of them are investors. And a lot of them are usually full-time working in a job or you know running full-time business. And they don't necessarily always have time to be able to invest their money. They can go out and find a property, but that's going to take them time as well. So she said, look, if you've got some great investors, which we always do, why don't you try and create a win-win situation for them where you put together them as the investor into deals that we have in the back, which we work together with working partners, and you can form a strong relationship to help them generate like returns up to like 15-20% as well. And I thought, well, that's not a bad idea, you know, bring it out and give it a go. And in a very short space of time, we had investors coming in and say, hey, look, you know, we'd love to be able to invest in your deals. And the current one that we're currently working with, which is up in Queensland at the moment, the property is nearly done, but it was basically we'd purchased this property outright. It was a 1:2 subdivision where we renovated the front house and also subdivide the block of land in the back. And something like that normally takes about 12 months or so to do. But the return on that is quite phenomenal, like because the market's also moving. We initially projected a profit to be about $230,000. Since the market's been moving and the renovations turned out really well, it's an extra $100,000 on top of that. So, you know, just small little developments like this has been very, very profitable for not just only the money partner, but also for us overall as well. And the amount of work that we put into it, you know, it's quite, you know, phenomenal that you can actually receive that kind of return for the little amount of work that you need to do.
Yeah. And so you actually help people get into these things now as well. Yeah. So it's sort of, it's really turning like a one passion into another passion into another passion for you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Is there ever a point that you'll give up your day job?
There probably will be at a certain point, I'd say, but I think I'm enjoying it too much right now to give it up. I don't know if people have actually worked at university, but coming from corporate, it's a very different lifestyle altogether, and it's really fun to be able to work, and I've got great colleagues and so forth.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah, that would be my dream, is to create a lifestyle business, and that's what, you know, ultimately I want to do. And that's why I think since creating Property Investory, because it's able to run in the background and I can still work full time, it's been, you know, very, very well. And if I took away the job, I get the asking, what am I going to do next?
Yeah, that's right. You would stop being so busy and then what there be. So what I'm really interested to know, and what our listeners are probably really interested to know from you, is you talk to a lot of investors. Can you give me an overview, a bit of an avatar of some of the successful investors that you are talking to at the moment? Because, you know, like we have a lot of salespeople listening who are obviously helping people buy and sell property, and we also have property managers who are helping to manage that property. So what does the successful investor of 2020 really look like? What are their characteristics?
What I initially started off was I was trying to capture the true essence of a story behind just an everyday Australian property investor. And that was really the whole motivation behind that podcast. And I guess my goal behind it was to try and impact over 1 million people across Australia to get into property, because we don't get taught this at home and we don't know a lot of it from school. People go to school to learn a particular skill for whatever their job or their future will be. Yeah. But to actually impact and find out from everyday Australians who actually do and invest into property was what I wanted to do. So ideally, the kind of, I guess, investor that would be I'm looking at in interviewing is usually people who have at least a portfolio of at least minimum 2 or 3 properties, anywhere up to, I've had people like Steve interview, and he's told me he's purchased over 1,000 properties in his portfolio at one stage. And I go, how do you manage all those properties in one? So, you know, it can vary. It just depends on, I guess, what stage they're at. So I guess we've got a few different segments. We've got people who have come from a property development background where they're doing lots and lots of property developments, then, you know, building units, high rises and so forth, all the way down to the mums and dads kind of investors. But to actually realistically say that most of the interviews I've done, I think it's mostly the people who have just a fantastic everyday life. You know, they could be just working in their full-time job, but have a portfolio of like 10 or 12 properties that are generating residual income. I'm trying to think of another family who I recently interviewed, who is, most of them are financially free, and they're just still working in the full-time job as a financial consultant inside the bank. And they're happy to just do that. So, you know, property doesn't necessarily mean that you need to retire from work, because people enjoy work at times, like myself. I think it just gives them that extra freedom to know that they don't have to go to work. So if they lose their job or, you know, get made redundant or whatever it is, they know that they've got a property portfolio that subsidizes whatever they want to do. And some people want to just take more time off. You know, you could probably travel 3 or 4 times a year more than the usual average because you've got something that's the foundation behind it. So I'd say that's probably the kind of average investor that people come on to share their stories. And I think it's great to be able to hear those kind of real life stories because it inspires other people who want to get on that journey to, you know, achieve those kind of things. And that's what I'm on as well too. And you kind of sit back and go, okay, I'm actually the person sort of representing all the investors out there who want to achieve that.
You know,
ultimately to have a portfolio that they can actually retire on or have there as the future generation for their kids and so forth.
Yeah, I think that's really nice because, you know, sometimes I guess there are people behind these properties and it's much more than just an address on a rent roll that is the story behind why that person's bought the property, what were their challenges in getting the finance, what are they expecting back from it? And they're all the sorts of things that you kind of dig into, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting because every single story is unique because there's no person that has the same horror stories or which wouldn't say horror stories, but you know, stories where things have just been challenging, the properties that just haven't turned out well. I mean, I could give you a few stories. I recently chatted to another guy who said that one of his houses that he purchased, and it's one of those kind of regional towns, completely got burnt down. You know, not only did it get burnt down as well too, he actually struck a complete electric shock to the neighbor's house next door because they decided to plug the power point into the next door and it decided to rain. So it blocked out both of their power and, you know, the whole kind of, you know, two houses went down. Not only that, they also vandalized the whole house as well. So things like that do happen, but it's not very common. But I think the turnaround behind that was the insurance was paid out and he managed to get all these things kind of fixed up and got to, you know, create a brand new property. Things like that are really inspiring stories. But at that point in time, you should have just heard his voice. He was like scared as anything, thinking, what am I supposed to do in this situation? So it's learning from those things, because even for myself right now, I'm actually even going through a few challenges with my commercial property. I purchased a commercial property in regional Victoria. Over the last few months or so, some of the tenants have decided to leave. And I'm also going through a stage of trying to renovate that property remotely too. And I'm facing a few challenges at this point in time, you know, trying to get down there, find the trades people and help do whatever it is. And it gets frustrating because people say, yeah, we'll turn up, but you know, they don't turn up. So you kind of think, do I need to actually go down there and, you know, to fly to where it is, or even just catch public transport down there? It's about a 9.5-hour trip. So I weigh up these things every day and it kind of puts a little bit of stress on you. But at the same time, you take a step back and think, okay, there are so many investors I've spoken to that I've learned from. They teach you how to sort of also change your mindset and also go, okay, well, if they've done it, I can pretty much learn from them as well too.
Yeah, and I guess that might be where having someone on the ground to help you out might be a good thing. So let's talk trends. Property managers at the moment, I think it's a really interesting place to be. Yes. Because I think there's a lot of opportunity there, different opportunity to what we've seen before. But have you noticed any investment trends that property managers and other real estate agents should be aware of?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's funny you asked me that question because I recently interviewed a property manager who has been investing since she was 21. She's financially free, but she still runs a property management business because that's one of her passions. And I said to her, so, you know, there's so many hundreds and hundreds of property, even thousands of property managers in Australia. So why did you go into property management? What was the reason? Not only was it because of a passion, but because she was starting to see a trend that there was a niche or gap that was missing, where there are so many hundreds of property investors out there, but they don't get the kind of right help and service. And what I mean by that is, a lot of the property managers out there are great in the sense that they can actually help you, you know, do your routine inspections and, you know, do whatever you need to do to mark those checks and just look after your property, because they just collect the rent, you know, make sure it's checked and so forth. But there are also a lot of investors out there who are time poor, who don't have the skill set to go out and potentially do extra renovation on their property, who don't have the ability to be able to see, okay, I could actually increase value by adding maybe an Airbnb and so forth. And that's where she comes in with her knowledge and sort of strategizing with her investors to say, hey, look, what you could potentially do here is maybe rent out the granny flat and put an Airbnb, and at the front you can renovate it to uplift the value and add X, Y, and Z rental on it. So those kind of things are actually happening right now. And for property managers out there who aren't doing this right now, there's a great opportunity to jump on that at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I interviewed someone a couple of weeks ago that he offers everything from a 2% I'll collect the rent for you kind of service up to 30% outsourced hotel.
Wow.
Like, that's pretty cool. So is that the sort of thing, like, are investors, you know, and I'm guessing that's because investors are demanding choice.
Mm.
So what have you seen there? Is price really an issue in terms of management for property investors, or is there something else that they want more than just a cheap fee?
I guess it really depends on each individual property investor's portfolio as well too. Yes, price is definitely one aspect that would be sensitive to them, because ultimately they treat their property portfolio like a business, because ultimately at the end of the day, they've got to be able to make money from their portfolio. If they're paying too much in management fees and they're not getting the kind of return they're getting, obviously they'll start shopping around and getting something better. And even the online ones, I've been seeing a lot of them coming on board. You know, it's such a simple process. You hop online and the whole thing's all done via website, and even tracks everything. So the industry is being disrupted with technology, and it's actually completely evolving the way we see things. And I think in the future, property managers who don't evolve or change over to sort of move towards the trends, like what's happening right now, may fall behind and just might, you know, just still have the small rent rolls and so forth. But to answer your question, I guess investors are not just necessarily looking for just for a property manager just to look after their property. They want to be assured that the tenants that they're going to be picked and chosen to go into a property can also be there, not only one for long term, but also two, how can they add value to the property? Because some people might be purchasing a property to do development down the track. You know, they may want to add more things to it. They may want to renovate and so forth. So how do you manage that process? And this is where you'd be tapping into sort of the property manager's shoulders to be able to get guidance on it. I'll give you an example for myself. The reason why I chose the property manager that I'm with right now, with the regional property in Portland, is because they've had experience with the local market to hire some tenants in there, but also too, they've also done some development too. So they know tradespeople, they know builders to do certain things. And the reason why they've been really good, you know, helping me with that is because I'm currently located in Sydney and they're in Melbourne, and I could sort of just trust that they will be able to find the right thing because they've done three or four big developments like that as well too. So it's like those kind of things that I'm looking for as an investor to invest into, and I want to make sure that if everything's going to be done correctly and well, that I can trust my property manager to help me with those additional services as well. And they don't, you know, necessarily need to charge for it. Some may do, but you know, a lot of times they're happy to add that value because they know that if they refer, or if you send them great tradespeople, you'll refer other property to them as well. And so far they've taken at least two or three properties from us as well. So
yeah, so what you're saying, if I could just try and summarize that a little bit, is that number one is that as an investor, you really want the property manager to have enough knowledge of what's happening in the market that they're actually going to help you improve yes. your investment and potentially even get you into your next one.
That's right.
And then you're also on another level looking at the tradespeople being really well connected. So yeah. So it's almost like in the sales world or in peak performance world, we kind of talk about having a pit crew around you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like so you true. Might have a coach and you might have an accountant and you might have a few
the
other
whole
people,
team.
Like
yeah.
a team of people. And so, you know, ideally, like a property investor needs a pit crew around them that, you know, can connect them up with the great trades, connect them up with other investment opportunities,
yep.
connect them with other people that yep. might be useful in the journey.
Yeah, totally. One thing I probably should add as well is what I also look for in property managers is the technology that they use, because sometimes I don't want to just necessarily just pick up an email from them saying this is your rent roll for the month or so. It'd be great to be able to just access a system where they own or have developed or so forth to be able to just see what's going on in your portfolio. Like that kind of added value service would be great, because I guess at this point in time, not many property managers have that kind of thing. Like I've got a few properties at this point in time and I still have to constantly call up and say, can you send me a statement? It'd be nice to just log in and have a look, you know, what's been happening and so forth. That kind of stuff, I think, is where technology could potentially aid and add that extra value service.
Yeah.
It might even become the norm down the track, but it still hasn't happened as such, I can see.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that are almost getting there, but, you know, it still seems hard. Like, you know, particularly, you know, like if you don't have the technology in your office, then, yeah. If you could put yourself into the shoes of either a real estate salesperson or a property manager, are there any really interesting interviews on your podcast that you would recommend that they listen to, which would really get them into the shoes of the customer?
Yeah, I had a few marketing agents as well too in the past on the podcast. I guess you can say project marketers, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were some of the amazing, really interesting, because they were sort of talking from the marketing aspect as well and how they got into it. So an agent that I interviewed, his name is Sam Albana. He was phenomenal. I think you should check out that podcast episode because he really, really went into detail about how his sales process worked, but not only that, how his property investment journey as well too, because not only was he selling projects off the plan, he was also talking about how he was buying into these as well as an investor. So he came from both mindsets. I think that was a phenomenal one. There's another one that's also by a property manager who I interviewed recently. Her name's Melissa Morgan as well too. As I was explaining to you, that's the actual person who I interviewed recently that talks from a strategy point of view, because she used to work at Macquarie Bank, and every time she was in Macquarie Bank, they'll be talking about private equities and strategies and so forth. And she would take that information and that strategy and help her investors apply that same model in a property management business. So I think if you're looking at it from both the sales and property management perspective, those are probably the two podcasts I'd highly recommend listening to.
All right. We'll definitely put some links to those in the show notes. Are there any other resources that you think are good for property managers or real estate agents, like books or things like that? What was on your must-read list?
Well, there's a ton of books that the listeners always, the actual guests, share onto a podcast. And I always do ask them about what their favorite resources are. This is not a property-related book that I'm referring to. It's actually more of a mindset. And one of the ones that I was recommended when I first started investing into property was by an author by the name of Jeff Olson called The Slight Edge. That particular book actually shifted my mindset to change a little bit, because when you actually look at something that looks so big, like for example, when I first started the podcast, I was looking, gosh, it's just such a big hurdle to try and get into it, because I said to myself, it took me a year, as I said, to actually jump into it. And I knew what to do. I knew how to go about interviewing people. But the biggest hurdle for me was actually creating a very, very narrated story, because I don't come from a publishing or a journalistic background. And I thought, okay, how do I actually go about creating some amazing stories? And the first thing I said to myself, I'll go out and find people, you know, to help me, surround myself with a great team. So I managed to find some interns who are studying journalism at university. And that's how we actually came up with the actual storyline, scripts and all that kind of stuff to create the podcast. You know, it wasn't something that just happened overnight. It was a process. And in The Slight Edge, that particular book actually talked about doing little things every day. Those little 1%ers that you do accumulate to, you know, massive returns. And that's what I've noticed. Like for me to go from 0 to 1.2 million downloads and have thousands and thousands of subscribers on the website and to impact that many people and to actually be running a business now as a side hustle.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could have imagined that 2 years ago, because it was just those one little things, those 1%ers that I just constantly did every day, you know, whether it be an interview every day or whether it be, you know, posting out and reaching out to a new guest every day. Those little things that is so simple, also so easy not to do, can accumulate to large, large things, which is what's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. If you said to yourself, I'm going to have a podcast that's going to have 1.2 million downloads, and then what, there's this big blank airy space between now and there. Whereas if you just continuously do little things, then yeah, amazing. Apart from that, what do you think is the best advice on investing or creating content that you've ever had?
It is interesting, because I do ask that question very, very frequently to all my guests as well. And everyone has very different advice. But I think for me, it's about setting an action plan, because it's very easy to put just one goal down. And I've done that many times. And every year I always set a goal, but I don't usually look at it until 12 months later again. And that's my problem as well. And I think everyone seems to procrastinate because life gets in the way. You know, you've got family, you've got work and so forth. But what I've noticed is that as soon as I put a goal down, and I do this on a weekly basis, I actually put an action plan around it. And what I mean by that is to actually break down that goal and have little things scheduled into your calendar. So I picked it up from actually one of the other podcasts, is basically take those little one things that you've got to do every day and slot in the slots that you've got to do. So whether it be an hour or half an hour, put it and block it into the calendar. So in my opinion, I think the best advice in relation to actually being consistent and doing it daily, block it all out and make sure that it's actually done and just do it.
Yeah, I reckon that's really great advice. Okay, so we've talked about a heap of things, and I hope that our listeners go and check out your podcast, because I've listened to several episodes and I think it's an excellent listen, particularly if you want to get inside the mind of your customer. After sharing some of this knowledge that you have with our listeners, what is one thing that you would like them to remember?
The thing is, it's very easy to procrastinate on property, because it does seem like a big hurdle for a lot of people. You know, you go, okay, if I want to buy a piece of property or buy, even just get started to buy your own home, for example, there's so many things that you need to do. You got to speak to an accountant, you got to speak to a solicitor, find out a real estate agent and so forth. but it's very easy to get overwhelmed. But I think the takeaway key lesson is to actually just go out there and just start, you know, just really, really start on that, because if you don't start, you'll never get anywhere.
Yeah.
And I've learned just from my personal experience, you will make mistakes, but at the same time, you'll be thanking yourself for taking that action to actually get and start implementing or start looking for that property if you want to start investing in property.
Yeah. And I guess too, if you're an agent, like think about that from being in the shoes of your customer. There are a lot of hurdles there that they could fall off at any one point in time. And so the easier that you can make it for each stage, which might appear difficult, the more valuable you're going to be in their lives.
Totally, totally. And coming from also a sales background in real estate, I used to work for LJ Hilco and Ray White as well too. I think the things that I've learned from working within those practices is the support that you get from it. You know, if you get the support that they give you, the training, the skills and so forth, there shouldn't be any reason why you can't get out there. It's just probably, you know, the thing that's holding between your 2 years that's probably holding you back. And I think take that fear away, change the mindset and say to yourself, look, if I can make little changes every day, I can definitely see that I can reach that goal, you know, over a period of time. So you just got to change that mindset and just take action.
Yeah, go out there and help people.
Yep.
Absolutely. Tyrone Shum, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sam, for having me on.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.